everyone. Welcome to our quarterly conversation on the Global Commercial Property Monitor, a report by the Royal Institution of Chartered Surveyors on investor and occupier sentiment in real estate markets around the world. At first glance, it seems that there hasn't been much of a shift in the general outlook in the first quarter of 2019, with European markets leading the way, modest growth in the U.S., and positive readings in Asian markets like India and Japan. Joining me from London for a more in-depth analysis of the research is RICS Chief Economist Simon Rubinson. Welcome back, Simon.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, let's begin with a general view on the global markets. The overall impression for this year's first quarter is a rather positive one, similar to what we have seen in the last 3 months of 2018. What can you tell us about this evolution?
Well, I think the feedback we're hearing from respondents, and it's worth bearing in mind that there were once again around 3,000 of them, is that sentiment in general towards the real estate sector remains fairly upbeat, and that's despite some ongoing macro sort of economic concerns. Indeed, even in those markets where contributors are perhaps a little bit more cautious in the insight they're providing us with, it's still the case, I think, that these markets seem to be pointing towards soft landing rather than anything more pernicious.
Now, like in previous quarters, Europe came on strong in the first 3 months of the year. The stability of European markets has to do in large with monetary, financial policies. How do you see the European Central Bank's role in the current landscape?
Well, you know, Europe's not alone in being sort of a part of the world where concerns about the growth outlook have heightened. But I mean, I think that, you know, looking at some of the forecasts that I've seen for the European continent, the numbers have been downgraded perhaps a little bit more significantly there than elsewhere. But we know that monetary policy remains very accommodating. And it's interesting, obviously, there's been a swift change of stance from the ECB, both in terms of the updated interest rate guidance it's providing, and also the provision of a new long-term refinancing operation. And that suggests that monetary policy is going to remain a crutch for real estate markets over the coming quarters.
Now, the European markets where positive investor and occupier sentiment have maintained at really good levels are Hungary, Germany, the Czech Republic, Portugal, and the Netherlands. This is not much different from a year ago, let's say. Tell us about the context for the positive sentiment in the Eurozone.
Look, inevitably there are country-specific issues across Europe, and that are driving expectations. And that's reflected in the positive momentum in some of the core markets that you referenced, and also in some of the smaller markets. Let's take, for example, Germany. The perception there is that the market is in the peak phase of the cycle. That's been the case for a number of quarters now. It's being viewed as more expensive, and that's again not surprising given the strong performance of recent years. But respondents still seem to be telling us they think capital values can rise a little further, underpinned by what they perceive to be a solid occupier market. Now, if we take perhaps some of those smaller emerging markets, Hungary and Portugal, you know, they're not seen as being so advanced in the cycle. They're not being seen as being so dear. So there are different opportunities in Europe, but obviously, you know, there is a greater risk attached to those markets. They are seen as delivering significant capital gains over the next couple of years. But, you know, obviously that's on the assumption that the macro environment remains reasonably supportive.
Now, speaking of the Eurozone, a final decision on Brexit has been delayed to the last day of October. How do you think this postponement will impact sentiment in the United Kingdom?
Well, I suppose the what we're hearing back from respondents across the UK is uncertainty is the key issue here. And, you know, obviously there's professionals in the market who may be more supportive of Brexit, some who are less supportive of Brexit, but I think the uncertainty that has been engendered by the challenges that have been so evident in trying to reach a decision about what Brexit should look like are crimping activity, and it's hard to believe that it won't continue to be a factor influencing market behavior over the coming months.
Right now, the key RICS indicators are only marginally negative for the UK. What can you tell us about these indicators and the main trends in the market?
Well, I think it's interesting that, you know, there's UK is not alone. In fact, in most markets, we're seeing quite significant sector divergence in terms of performance. But the UK is perhaps in a not quite unique position, but it's certainly very visible position. And it may be partly because of the fact that some of the structural changes underway in terms of consumer behaviour are global in orientation, but actually the UK seems to be somewhat more advanced in this whole trend towards digital spend. I think a higher proportion of household spending goes online in the UK than I think probably pretty much anywhere else in the world. And that is reflected in the feedback that we're hearing. So the retail numbers are pretty downbeat, really. And the indications are that that trend is going to continue. And secondary locations in particular are being hit, but some prime locations as well. And the counterpart of that is that the industrial sector, so the whole logistics industry, seems to be showing a much greater degree of resilience. Inevitably, location is critical here in terms of performance, but the overall messaging we're getting is that it's a strong sector, and offices are actually lying somewhere in between, broadly a sort of fairly steady position, really. But again, prime continuing to outperform secondary.
Should we expect a similar evolution regarding the retail sector in other European states?
Well, I think we're beginning to see that in some markets. It does tend to vary depending on where you look. But I think that there are some indications. I mean, if you look at the numbers we're getting back from Germany, for example, secondary retail is the one segment of the market where we're being told that the numbers or the projections for the next 12 months are negative. And indeed, when we ask about the longer term expectations, they're even more negative. So, you know, that's an example where, you know, that sort of trend is visible, but not quite on the same scale as the UK. I think there are parts of the parts of Europe where, you know, it is less evident at the present time. But I think that this is a structural change which is inevitably going to take, you know, hold on that sort of sector wherever you are over time. And in the more advanced sort of economies and the more mature real estate markets, it will come sooner than perhaps elsewhere. But I think it's an inevitable trend that we'll see spreading through the sort of the global market.
We do have some good news from China. In the first quarter of 2019, trade tensions between the US and China have tempered with talks of a potential deal. This has translated into improved indicators for China. What are your thoughts on the situation and what do you expect going forward?
Well, I think you're right that, you know, both sides, China and the US, do now seem to be sort of heading towards a positive resolution of a trade dispute. That's encouraging. Though I would point out that the framework being discussed includes several checkpoints that need to be met over the next couple of years. And that means that the threat of tariffs will probably still linger for some time. We may be moving in the right direction, but we're not over the hump yet. That said, the shift in rhetoric by both sides, I think, has removed a downside risk in the near term. And I think that's reflected in some of the feedback that we're hearing vis-a-vis the CRE market in China. The indicators that we've received over the last few weeks, reflecting the Q1 data, are certainly stronger than what we were getting in the last survey of last year. But I think it's still more consistent with a stabilization in the picture regarding sentiment rather than a material improvement. So, you know, it's a step in the right direction. It's better than it was, but I'm not sure it suddenly means that market's going to move significantly forward. And I think I would just add that, you know, there's obviously within China, we talked about sector, we've already talked about sort of sector performance in Europe. I think it's certainly worth sort of highlighting sort of the differential performance that you're likely to see from top tier Chinese cities, which, you know, are still expected to do pretty well, and indeed they could well outpace the performance from other global gateway cities. So, you know, when we talk about China, I think we've got to be able to differentiate between that market, you know, and particularly those really top tier cities. And you know, it may be that, you know, we will actually see, you know, prime office space in Shanghai see, you know, rental growth that, you know, will be perhaps in excess of 5% over the next year, according to what we're hearing. And that isn't, you know, that's not a bad background. It's giving you a developing market growth in what might be seen as a developed city. So, you know, there's still opportunities in China, even if the overall, you know, or there are opportunities, significant opportunities, even though the overall picture, I suggested, was more consistent with stabilization.
India and Japan have had the most positive readings. What stood behind this perception?
Well, I think both those markets are driven by their own unique characteristics. You know, India is obviously a more of a long-term structural story, where Japan is more of a, perhaps has more of a cyclical explanation. India expected to experience the quickest pace of annual growth of, I think, any of the major countries or emerging countries, I should say, over the next 5 years, according to the IMF recent forecasts. And the underlying expansion in India is being augmented, as we know, by that shift away from agriculture into service. Dramatic pace of urbanization, you know, taking place, a lot going on there. And I think, you know, I would certainly subscribe to the view that sort of, as we see more people attracted to these cities, inevitably, you know, sometimes the narrative is around that there being a lot of poverty in these cities. But I think what we are going to see is, you know, this being a sign of, ultimately a sign of strength, not weakness, and of opportunity for the cities to grow. So I think there's you know, I think our numbers, you know, certainly the feedback we're hearing from India is positive, and I think that's tied in with that long-term structural story. There is a cyclical overlay inevitably, but it's bolted onto that structural story. Japan obviously is a very different, you know, picture. And in, you know, while we talked about Indian population perhaps growing and the urbanization trend sort of becoming so a real dominant feature, or being a dominant feature, I mean, obviously Japan or and we look at Tokyo specifically, we can talk about a very different picture in terms of population trends. But that said, you know, Tokyo and Japan more generally, it's the most developed market in APAC. It has the largest stock of CRE assets. It's the deepest market for financing. So, you know, there are those sorts of positives that continue to be supportive. And on top of that, of course, you have, you know, we talked about the ECB sort of being providing a, you know, very accommodating monetary stance, which is helping to underpin real estate. Well, I think if you look at the BOJ's policy stance, it's not so dissimilar, and cost of money remains extremely low, and as a result, real estate remains attractive both for domestic and foreign investors. And you know, certainly as far as what we hear through the respondents to this survey are telling us, that looks like it's going to persist at least through the course of 2019.
Going back to India, the country is now in the midst of its general election process that will close on May 19. Now, this vote has a considerable economic stake, as many expect that India will have a growth trajectory similar to that of China. How do you think this will play out? What impact will this have on investor sentiment?
Look, I don't think we're in the business of forecasting elections. And, you know, this is especially true for India, which is a particularly complex election. So I would steer clear of that. What I would say is that increasingly, from what we can see, both the main parties have become more reform-minded. So I think that whatever the outcome, there is going to be a real continual focus on delivering strong growth going forward. And you know, that growth will be fueled by infrastructure investment, and I think that will provide a solid backdrop for commercial real estate investment more generally.
Let's discuss the situation in the Middle East. Now, for the past quarters, respondents in the region have indicated a negative sentiment. Activity in non-oil sectors of the United Arab Emirates are sluggish, and the country fell into deflation in January. Property prices in Dubai are down roughly 25% compared to 2014, and growth slowed to 1.9% last year from 3.1% in 2017. This is the lowest rate in 8 years, CNBC reports. Which property sectors are the most affected?
Well, again, sort of listening to what we hear from people who are feeding into this survey, the picture that I'm sort of building up is one in which, you know, the market across the board is suffering. And this has been obviously a story that has run for quite some while. Looking at the comments from respondents, there doesn't appear to be any relief in sight at this stage. I suppose it's fair to say that prime assets, as perhaps might be expected in this sort of environment, are showing greater resilience, but optimism is hard to find. And I suppose underlying this, we're being told that tenant demand, so the occupier appetite, is softer across the board. So I probably wouldn't get, from what I can see, you know, too focused on individual sectors. It seems to be a pretty, unfortunately, a pretty negative story across, you know, most parts of the market. And I suppose, you know, if one was sort of trying to find any sort of relief, I suppose it might be in the way that some of those sort of the better quality sites are showing a little bit more resilience, but you know, and maybe say prime offices doing the best of the groupings, but I don't sense that there's sort of any hope at the moment that this is going to turn around, which is a bit disappointing given the extent of the downturn that's already afflicted that market.
I was reading that renewable energy might be a way out for the Middle East. The recent research shows that the region is moving towards the energy storage space, as these nations have begun exploiting their renewable energy resources. What are your thoughts on these perspectives?
Clearly, if these countries are able to diversify their economy somewhat away from traditional fossil fuels, that would be a big plus point. But that will take time. And clearly, what we're hearing at the moment, whether we look at sort of logistics or storage, I'd say, or industrial, isn't consistent with, you know, that turnaround happening anytime soon. I think it is a medium-term story, and it may well ultimately deliver significant benefits. But I'm not picking up anything from the property guys and who respond to this survey that suggests that this is going to be significantly impacting the market in the next short while.
Moving on to the United States, the situation has been more or less unchanged. Fairly positive sentiment overall, with exceptions such as New York City, a market perceived to be at its peak by 40% of respondents, or in its downturn phase by other 40%. What can you tell us about the impact of a potential slowdown in the U.S. CRE market?
Obviously, it goes without saying that the economic cycle has had a pretty good, you know, run. It's pretty mature in the U.S., and the real estate cycle has similarly is now looking fairly extended in some of the main markets. Nevertheless, I don't sense from the feedback again that we're getting here that the markets look under significant pressure. There are certainly some sort of suggestions that Q1 activity overall in the US was perhaps a bit more subdued than it has been, and the indicators that I'm seeing in terms of capital value growth or rental growth perhaps aren't quite as buoyant as they were. But nevertheless, the overall picture is still suggesting that, you know, if you look at prime space in particular, that capital values for offices and sort of industrials will still show modest gains over the next 12 months. Retail seems to be sort of coming up against a bit of a wall now, and obviously we've discussed the UK and the European issues around some of the structural changes, and I think, you know, looking at the data that we're picking up, it's also manifesting itself now in the US data as well.
But is there more to it than just a slowdown when it comes to the future of the commercial real estate market in the US, or do you see other risks ahead?
I think it would probably, from my perspective, still look very much about the nature of the interest rate cycle and how that plays out in terms of the US. Interestingly, when we ask respondents from that market where they view in the cycle, where they view the market currently being, you know, something like 40% say it's in the peak phase, but we still got about 25% who are saying mid-upturn. And that's, I think, the nature of that US market. And obviously, you know, you've got very diverse trends. And we talked about Europe and the diversity of markets in Europe. And I think, you know, clearly, obviously, we're picking up very different signals from across that market. And overall, actually, still something like 40% are saying that the market's fair value. So I think, you know, ultimately, you know, if the economy continues to deliver fairly solid growth and interest rates don't move up very much from where they are, then the market, I would envisage, would still show a fair degree of resilience, despite it being perhaps quite a mature point in the cycle.
Vancouver is among the most expensive global real estate markets, but Canada has good readings overall. How do you see this market?
Yeah, I think Canada overall still has sort of reasonably decent readings. The underlying economy is sort of performing sufficiently strongly to sort of maintain fairly decent numbers on the occupier side. I mean, our indicators, and they are indicators rather than the actual hard data trying to capture occupier demand, still are showing, you know, fairly decent growth away from the retail sector. Again, you know, sort of shining a light. And, you know, the as a result of that, you know, we're also seeing, you know, rent expectations in both offices and industrials holding up. So, I mean, the overall picture that we sort of gleaning about the Canadian market is, again, that, you know, in aggregate, you know, it's fairly in a fairly solid position. It's still likely to show further gains. The retail sector has got its problems, but if you look at prime assets, particularly offices and industrials, you know, despite the fact that, you know, you highlighted the Vancouver story, but the overall picture is still likely to show gains. And in terms of the overall story on market valuation, and that Vancouver is having an influence. So, you know, something like 2/3 of respondents would view the market in aggregate as being expensive or very expensive. We can see it does feel a bit more stretched. But, you know, despite that being the case, the vast majority of people respondents still see the market in either the upturn phase or a peak phase, and not seeing this valuation challenge being sufficient to push the market over. And I think that's partly because, you know, the feedback that they're seeing, the insight they're picking up on the occupier side, is providing a level of support for that market.
According to the International Monetary Fund's April outlook, the global economic expansion decelerated in the second half of 2018, following a broad-based upswing in cyclical growth that lasted nearly 2 years. How do you see this trend going forward, and how will it impact global commercial real estate markets?
Well, the IMF rightly highlighted some of the risks to the macroeconomy. For now, I would suggest that the principal risk as far as real estate is concerned remains fairly subdued, and that is inflation. So wherever you look in terms of markets at the moment, I don't sense that inflation is taking off. Now, the interesting thing, of course, is that And the IMF does allude to this as well, that you know, in many economies, there is you know, an emerging tightness of capacity. Capacity constraints are kicking in, partly because the cycle has run for so many years, and you're seeing it particularly visible in the labour market. Typically, that would lead to higher wage growth and feed through into higher inflation. At the moment, that transmission mechanism doesn't appear to be operating in the way it perhaps has done in past cycles. If it were to manifest itself in that very visible way, I think the pressure would then be on central banks to reconsider their positions. We know in the case of the US that the decision the US Federal Reserve has sort of also, we talked about the ECB earlier, has moved into a pause phase. It's certainly putting things on hold for the time being, not minded to raise rates. But if we were to see inflation begin to come through, I think that would probably be the biggest challenge. One can think of other risks to real estate at a global level, but for me, that is the key thing. Do we see the normal end of a cycle begin to sort of play out? Are we going to see higher inflation that forces central banks onto the defensive? And given that, you know, that they are, you know, they haven't really normalized rates at the moment. If they are forced to push rates up at this point, you know, it's going to be quite an interesting challenge for real estate markets, how they respond to a material tightening in policy. So I see that as the big risk. For now, I mean, looking at the feedback that we're getting from respondents, I remain reasonably sanguine, but I think one has to be mindful that as the cycle continues to lengthen, that the risks associated with the market inevitably become more pertinent and, you know, perhaps greater.
Definitely interesting times, and it remains to be seen how everything will play out. Simon, thank you for all the interesting insights. It's been a pleasure as always.
Thank you very much. Nice to speak to you.
To everyone listening, tune in this summer for our next RICS podcast. Until then, enjoy the rest of the week.